Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The UNC System's Board of Governors could change or eliminate diversity and inclusion policies. How this could affect employees in DEI-related positions.
And we had some rain headed our way. It has fizzled out for now, but more is likely later on this afternoon and evening. Plus, we have a level one risk for storms on Friday. I'll show you the timeline for both days.
And 12 NBA All-Stars are joining USA Men's Basketball for a trip to Paris. We'll tell you some of the players who made the cut and who will coach them from the sidelines.
We have a level one risk for severe storms on Friday, but a few showers are likely today as well. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRO Severe Weather Center with a look at today's rain chances and the timeline for Friday.
All morning long, I was watching this band of rain that was back to our west creeping our direction, and it looked like it was starting to fizzle out. But I really thought that we might have a few sprinkles, but I tell you what, it got here and just completely fizzled. Futurecast still showing just a tiny bit of rain because, again, it just really looked like it was going to make it here. But we'll likely have dry conditions through 3 o'clock up until maybe 5 or 6. And then a few isolated showers could pop up anywhere through the evening, but you can see just how light that coverage is. So it's not going to be a big deal for us. Really not going to be anything that measures in the rain gauges. But again, there might be a sprinkle here or there, and we'll definitely stay mainly cloudy. So we're going to give it a, let's say, a 20% chance, maybe later in the evening up to a 30% chance. But again, it will be light and patchy for sure. This morning, the Storm Prediction Center gave us a level one risk for severe storms on Friday. We had been watching that potential increasing for Friday afternoon and evening. We'll kick things off early Friday with some sunshine and then ending up by lunchtime with some cloud cover. Not likely to see much rain until we get into the afternoon. So you can see here at 2 o'clock, some showers and storms in our eastern counties, and then potentially another wave that arrives by 7 or 8 o'clock. So this could come in two waves as we get into the day on Friday with that chance for some severe storms. Damaging wind would be the biggest threat. We're going to still see the cloudy skies for the rest of the day today, but tomorrow looks sunny and hot. I'll show you coming up.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, an update to a story we've been following since yesterday. A 17-year-old male has been taken into custody and charged with murder after a stabbing at a Raleigh Walmart. This is the Walmart on New Bern Avenue. Yesterday, around 3:15, Raleigh police responded to that Walmart for reports of a stabbing. An adult male was brought to the hospital where they later died. The incident is being investigated as a homicide, and the identity of the victim has not been released. This is an ongoing investigation.
Michelle, thanks. Diversity, equity, and inclusion policies could be scrapped at UNC System schools.
A committee of the Board of Governors oversees 17 campuses across the state, and that committee will discuss repealing and replacing the DEI policy. WRAL's Monica Casey is live in Chapel Hill, and we've seen this at other universities. Monica, this would have a major impact.
That's right. It's not just DEI goals and initiatives that could be impacted by this change. Jobs are at stake here as well. Here in Chapel Hill, specifically, the website for the Provost's Office of Diversity and Inclusion lists at least a dozen staff members. The current policy calls for every UNC institution to have a senior level administrator as its diversity and inclusion officer, and it establishes metrics and goals. The new proposed policy calls on each institution to comply with the university's commitment to, quote, institutional neutrality and non-discrimination. House Speaker Tim Moore told WRAL last week that the legislature would let the universities take up this issue first.
We may look at legislation. We may allow, for example, with the universities where this tends to be probably the most kind of the most controversies brewing, allow the boards of governors and the boards of trustees and the board of governors to take a look at it first. There's no big push to immediately do something.
The new policy could also require a report on reductions in spending and changes to job titles undertaken as a result of implementation, and how those savings can be redirected to initiatives, quote, related to student success and well-being. Now, the Board of Governors University Governance Committee is discussing this at 3:45 this afternoon. If they do vote to move forward, this could come before the full Board of Governors at their next meeting that's scheduled for May.
And we'll see where this goes. Like we said, we have seen this happen at other schools as well. Big effects in the offing, potentially. Monica Casey live in Chapel Hill for us this noon. Thank you.
Former North Carolina Congressman Madison Cawthorn reportedly crashed his Mercedes into a Florida State Trooper's cruiser. A video taken by a witness shows Cawthorn talking with a state trooper on the side of the road and shots of a damaged black Mercedes and police car. The state trooper vehicle was rear-ended in a construction zone on Monday. The trooper was treated for minor injuries. Cawthorn was cited for violating Florida's move-over law. He moved to Florida after losing his 2022 re-election bid. Highway Patrol has identified the woman who was hit and killed in Johnston County. 43-year-old Jennifer Penn was struck on Old Stage Road. This was near Anger just before 10 last night. Troopers are looking for the driver. They're searching for a dark or black 2018 to 2021 Jeep Wrangler with front-end damage and a headlight that probably doesn't work.
Boeing's Speak Up Workplace tip line saw a 500% surge in submissions in the first quarter of this year compared to last year. The company has faced significant scrutiny in the wake of problems with its 737 MAX airplanes. These new figures were released just as a Boeing whistleblower testifies today before a Senate Transportation Committee. WRL's Noah Klein joins us live with what's been said so far about this. Noah.
Yeah, Jeff, that hearing just got started within the last 45 minutes as we take a live look outside there, the U.S. Capitol. That's where it's all happening. The big focus today is Boeing's planes and potential issues with them. So far, we've heard from three people testifying as experts. This is a live look inside this hearing happening right now. This expert still testifying and also receiving some questions from lawmakers. One of the experts here testifying is a Boeing engineer, now turned whistleblower, who says the company's 787 Dreamliner isn't safe. Sam Salapour says he brought up multiple issues multiple times to his boss. He says those concerns were ignored. We also heard from Ed Pearson, who also used to work for Boeing. He said he similarly raised some of these red flags about the aircrafts. Here's a piece of his testimony.
Passengers shouldn't have to rely on whistleblowers to provide the truth. They should be able to get on airplanes and not have to worry about what model it is, whether it was designed and manufactured to the highest of standards, whether the airline is operating and maintaining it properly, or whether government agencies are providing proper oversight.
Boeing, meanwhile, for its part, tells NBC News in a statement here in this board, you see it, these claims about structural integrity of the 787 are inaccurate. The issues raised have been subject to rigorous engineering examination under FAA oversight. Now, Boeing previously suspended most production of those 787 for about 2 years until August 2022 due to problems with shims. Those are small pieces placed to close those gaps between the aircraft's assembled parts. We'll continue to monitor this hearing, bring you the latest right here on WRL on our evening news. Jeff?
The NTSB checks every plane coming off the line as well. Noah Klein, thanks for the update.
The state of Israel will do everything necessary to defend itself. Those are the words from Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today as he weighs the response to Iran's unprecedented missile attack. Most of the missiles were intercepted with the help of the U.S. military. Sources say the U.S. expects Israel's reaction will be limited in scope. However, Iran's president warned that the smallest action against Iran's interests would be met with a severe, extensive and painful response.
And it's happening right now in the WRL Live Center. Nine people have been arrested in connection with the gold heist at Pearson International Airport in Toronto. This happened last year. A year ago today, more than 6,000 gold bars were stolen from Air Canada's cargo facility. The suspect came into possession of the stolen gold after presenting Air Canada personnel with a fraudulent airway bill. Police said the suspects face a combined 19 charges. Warrants have been issued for the arrest of three other suspects as well.
Next at noon, a countdown to the excitement of the 2024 Summer Olympics. We are 100 days out from today to the opening ceremony. Is Paris ready? We'll have a look at the venues.
Also, record rainfall in the United Arab Emirates, the flooding it's causing, and how many people have died in the dangerous conditions.
Plus, a nationwide shortage of prescription drugs has reached an all-time high. At 12:30, how Congress is being called on to fix the problem.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
In its exactly 100 days, more than 10,000 athletes and tens of thousands of spectators will converge on Paris for the start of the Olympic Games.
The 16-day extravaganza that marks the first time the City of Light has hosted the World Sports Festival in a century. NBC's Keir Simmons gives us a look at some of the venues in and around Paris.
This morning, the Olympic flame en route from Greece to Paris. Just 100 days from the City of Light's first Olympics in 100 years. And now, a first glimpse of the stunning venues built at some of the city's most famous sites.
Oh my goodness. It's incredible.
Under the Eiffel Tower, NBC News shown around the beach volleyball.
This is exciting. I mean, to actually see it like this, you get a really, really a feeling for how it's going to be.
Yeah, indeed. It is really exciting. You can almost feel the atmosphere of the 13,000 people.
The centerpiece, set to be the River Seine, hosting the opening ceremony. This week, President Macron saying for the first time that France has backup locations planned if security threats arise. Now, many Olympic locations visible from a riverboat or bateau mouche. My guide, Paris podcaster Oliver G.
This is where it's all going to happen. This is the Pont Alexandre III, a really famous bridge. And on both sides, we're going to be having Olympic events.
That side and this side?
Both.
Wow.
In total, there are 24 venues scattered in and around Paris. In the Place de la Concorde, skateboarding, and for the first time, breakdancing. At Les Invalides, archery. In the Grand Palais, taekwondo and fencing. While just 9 miles outside Paris, the spectacular Château de Versailles, home of Louis XIV, who had a passion for horses, will stage the Olympic equestrian events.
There will be a beautiful perspective on the Grand Canal and with a backdrop with the Château de Versailles.
Up to 40,000 spectators will watch competing riders encircle the magnificent golden fountains. Then a different kind of gold. At a French jewellery house, the Paris 2024 medals, set with tiny fragments of the Eiffel Tower and encased in bespoke Louis Vuitton trunks. Heightened security means every apartment overlooking events will be searched.
Your Parisian apartment.
Boston native Susan Godden shows us around her magnificent Paris home.
Look at this! Yes.
She has volunteered to greet athletes when the games begin.
It's such a beautiful city, and I want everyone that comes here to have a wonderful experience and walk away, fall in love with it like I have.
That's so awesome that so many famous landmarks are also Olympic venues. NBC and Peacock will air unprecedented Olympic coverage, including daytime live broadcasts of swimming, gymnastics, and track and field finals. WRL's Liz McLaughlin will be in Paris bringing you live coverage. Watch all the action here on WRL starting July 26th.
And we now know the players who will make up the United States men's Olympic basketball team for Paris. The team was chosen by USA Basketball Men's National Team Managing Director Grant Hill, formerly of Duke, right? Approved by the USA Basketball Board of Directors. It features three-time Olympic champion Kevin Durant, as well as the NBA's all-time leading scorer LeBron James, Steph Curry, Bam Adebayo, and Devin Booker, as well. Jason Tatum from Duke as well, also part of the team, as the other NBA All-Stars join the squad that boasts 11 combined Olympic appearances and owning 10 Olympic gold medals. Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr will be on the sidelines coaching.
Another college president is coming before Congress to face tough questions in a hearing on anti-Semitism on college campuses. This time, it's the president of Columbia University. She's facing the same committee whose questions in December led to the ousters of the leaders at UPenn and Harvard. Here's Rebecca Castor.
Columbia, meanwhile, has recognized clubs that say things like, quote, Zionist not invited, and the Holocaust wasn't that special.
A student star of David necklace was ripped off her neck as she walked to class.
This is how students from Columbia University felt on campus after the war ignited between Israel and Hamas.
Palestine will be free!
It's just one of several Ivy League schools across the country that's become a hotbed for anti-Israel protests.
Well, how can we be confident that you'll restore order in a safe learning environment if it took you months to send warning letters?
The
Chairwoman, I want to reassure you, I have absolutely no hesitation in enforcing our policies.
Lawmakers grilling Columbia University President Manu Shafiq Wednesday as part of their investigation into allegations elite schools have failed to protect Jewish students and staff. She's trying to avoid the same fate as the presidents of Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, who both resigned shortly after an explosive congressional hearing in December.
Columbia claims to work in God's light. Sadly, for all the Jewish students on their campus, this could not be further from the truth.
Some lawmakers claim some of the worst incidents of anti-Semitism happened on Columbia's campus. But President Shafiq came in prepared for lawmakers' lines of questioning.
We have already suspended 15 students from Columbia. We have 6 on disciplinary probation. These are more disciplinary actions that have been taken probably in the last decade at Columbia.
Columbia University and several other schools are also under investigation by the Department of Education for alleged civil rights violations.
Today, we're expecting a new report about the Maui wildfires. Hawaii's attorney general is scheduled to issue the first phase of the findings today from the state attorney general's office. Maui fire officials released their own findings yesterday. Their report outlined the difficulties and conditions firefighters faced while battling the August wildfires in Lahaina. The fire killed 101 people. Officials still don't know what started the wildfires. Record-breaking rainfall inundated the United Arab Emirates, shutting down schools and grounding flights. The country received 10 inches of rain in 24 hours. This is a look at the airport there, which is the second busiest in the world. The storm swamped roadways and created dangerous conditions across the region. Nearby Oman, at least 18 people are dead due to severe weather. The rain event surpasses anything since records began being kept in 1949.
Gray skies will be our weather theme for the day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner lets us know whether we'll see any showers today.
We are likely to see some showers this evening, but they will be patchy and light. We're seeing just a tiny bit of light rain up here in Person County, and that may slide over into Granville County. But we were watching that band of rain earlier this morning. It moved into our area and completely fell apart. It did look like it was going to dissipate somewhat, but I thought we would hold on to a little bit. So a tiny chance this afternoon, and then potentially again later on this evening, anytime from around 6 or 7 on up till around 8 or 9 o'clock. So we look ahead to Friday, and at this point, that looks like we'll have a decent chance for thunderstorms. We're under a level 1 risk for severe storms, with damaging wind being the biggest threat. We may have some heavy rain with some of these cells that develop, but it also looks somewhat sparse in terms of coverage. We'll likely cloud up by lunchtime, and then just after lunchtime, along and east of I-95, we're likely to have a round of storms. Maybe a little break there around 5 o'clock, and then watch another band that starts to develop again closer to 10 or 11. And so anytime in there, you know, briefly some heavy rain, some gusty winds that might produce some wind damage. We take a look at Chapel Hill, and it is cloudy, but it is dry out there, definitely, and pretty quiet too. Our winds are now southwest at 14. We are seeing some breezy conditions, some gusts up to around 20 miles per hour. And at the airport, it's reporting rain, but when we take a look at the radar, there's nothing to see out there. 75 is our current temperature, and we'll climb into the low 80s for highs this afternoon. Looking at 82 in Raleigh, 81 in Durham, and 84 degrees in Fayetteville. So definitely our warm week continues all the way through Saturday. Our normal high is 73, and we'll see highs in the 80s. And then Sunday, completely different. We're going to go from 81 Saturday to 68 on Sunday. Yes, all because of a front. A front is going to sink south of us, and it's going to hang around to the south of us for a few days, bringing the cooler temperatures. Right now, a huge chunk of the country, central and eastern parts of the United States, are seeing temperatures above normal there in the yellows and oranges. But then we'll see a front come through. That's going to deliver some cooler air, and our temperatures will drop well below normal for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday at the minimum. What we'll notice not only is the afternoon highs, but the morning lows too. I happen to remember this past Sunday because I happened to be out early for a run, and it was chilly. That was 2 weeks ago. The temperatures were so chilly. But we're looking at the same thing again. Sunday night into Monday morning, you're going to want to have a jacket. Those temperatures in the 40s, and then same thing again Monday night into Tuesday morning. And that may continue on through next week, too. Look at that. Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, our overnight lows will end up in the 40s. So these very warm temperatures are with us for a bit. Tomorrow's likely to be the warmest day of the week with 87 degrees. So far, 89 has been our warmest temperature this year at RDU. Coming up, we're going to talk more about Saturday and Sunday. We've been tracking our rainfall potential for those days for the last several days, and I'll show you the updated forecast coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. The State Board of Election staff is sharing how the primary election went last month. Legislators are also expected to talk about hot topics like early voting locations and a pilot signature verification program. We share what comes out of that meeting on our news at 4.
Plus, there's a new initiative to help mothers in the weeks when they are most at risk after giving birth. How Rex Hospital says this bracelet will do the job. That's at 5:30. Still ahead this noon, there could soon be a healthy alternative for people who rely on CPAP machines like this to get a good night's sleep. Coming up, the weight loss drug that could soon offer relief.
Hundreds of prescription medications are in short supply due to high demand. What some industry experts blame for the shortage. United Airlines says it took a $200 million hit to earnings when Boeing's 737 MAX 9 fleet was grounded in January. The carrier has 79 Boeing jets in its fleet. That's more than any of the other carriers. The planes were grounded for 3 weeks after a door panel on a MAX 9 operated by Alaska Airlines blew out in midair. United said it reported a net loss of $124 million for the first 3 months of the year.
Samsung is getting more than $6 billion in grants from the U.S. to boost production of computer chips. The grants will help fund the building and expansion of two facilities in Texas. Samsung is building a new plant and expanding an existing one. The chips produced will be used in everything from artificial intelligence to medical devices. The grants are part of the 2022 Chips and Science Act, designed to increase semiconductor production here in the U.S.
A popular weight loss drug may also help people who suffer from sleep apnea. In clinical trials, Eli Lilly found people who used Zepbound had fewer breathing events while sleeping than participants who got the placebo. Those who took the drug also lost weight. Eli Lilly has been testing the drug for sleep apnea since June 2022. The company plans to submit the results to the FDA to potentially expand the use of Zepbound. Fake Botox could be behind reports of severe health problems. The CDC and the FDA report at least 19 claims of vision problems, difficulty breathing, and swallowing, all attached to people who got fake Botox. The CDC says at least 9 people have been hospitalized. Both the CDC and the FDA believe the counterfeit Botox was obtained from unlicensed sources.
Amazon Music is joining Spotify in rolling out a generative AI playlist feature. Amazon's tool is called Maestro. It's only available to a small number of users for now. It is designed to use natural language prompts to create any type of playlist, including sounds, activities, emotions, even emojis. Amazon says it has safeguards in place to prohibit offensive language and inappropriate prompts. You can join Tar Heel Traveler tonight for some good eats across our state. A special restaurant deal called Yum. Now, it's from breakfast to burgers, seafood to tacos. Scott Mason digs into it all. Watch the Tar Heel Traveler special tonight at 7:30 on WRAL.
A problem that surfaced during the pandemic is now expanding with no end in sight. What doctors blame for the shortage of prescription medications in the U.S.
Plus, for years, siblings have debated the effect of the order of their birth years. And now a social media post is opening the discussion the impact can have on your mental health.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A problem that really got bad during the pandemic appears to be getting worse.
Pharmacists say a shortage of more than 300 prescription drugs has reached an all-time high. Here's Matt Finn.
Troubling news from the pharmaceutical industry. 323 drugs were in short supply during the first 3 months of this year. It's a new all-time high since the American Society of Health System Pharmacists and the Utah Drug Information Service started tracking back in 2001.
It's a struggle. We have shortages of antibiotics, and we have shortages of the weight loss drugs.
Popular weight loss drugs like Wegovy and Ozempic are in short supply due to high demand. But there are also concerning shortages for critical chemotherapy drugs, antibiotics, and ADHD medications. Emergency medicine that's stored in hospital crash carts and procedural areas are also being impacted. The situation has some doctors feeling powerless.
Parents get mad because we e-prescribe it, we send it to the pharmacy they have on file, it's out of stock at that pharmacy, and honestly, we don't have enough manpower to call every single pharmacy to find the drug. It would be a full-time job for one secretary.
So what's causing the shortages? Experts say increased demand, market failures, and manufacturers choosing to discontinue certain drugs. Another issue to consider, a majority of FDA-approved drug makers get their supplies from overseas. This means it's hard to predict when a shortage is going to happen.
So a lot of it has to do with the supplies coming from other countries that you need to make the drug are not coming to the U.S. or the manufacturers aren't getting them.
That was Matt Finn reporting. Last week, the Department of Health and Human Services published a paper recommending ways for Congress to tackle the problem.
Starting today, you might see some new trash bins in downtown Raleigh. The idea is to make it a little more pleasant for people walking on the sidewalks. The city is rolling out a pilot program to try to decrease clutter downtown. These are called track bins. Track stands for trash, recycling, and cardboard. The goal is to reduce the number of trash cans businesses have on sidewalks, which can block the walkways and create unpleasant smells.
What it does is essentially creates a centralized location for trash or recycling to be put by businesses, with the idea that then the rollaway carts are gone.
Also, these bins will sit in converted parking spaces, not on the sidewalk. The first bins are out on East Martin Street.
Raleigh voters will elect a new mayor in November. Mayor Marianne Baldwin is not running for a third term. She made the announcement in this 8.5-minute video. In it, Baldwin explains the reason for stepping down, including a diagnosis with stage 1 breast cancer last year. She also says her husband recently had major surgery and suffered some complications. Baldwin says her heart and her head were in conflict, with her heart feeling she should run again.
But my head was telling me something different. It's telling me it's time to devote my energies to myself and my family and to find other ways to serve.
Baldwin served 10 years on the city council before being elected mayor for the first time in 2019. City Councilor Corey Branch, former state treasurer Janet Cowell, Professor Terrence Ruth, and businessman Paul Fitz are among the six candidates running for Raleigh mayor so far. WRL's Lena Tillett spoke with several of the candidates running for mayor in a recent edition of On the Record. Hear their visions for the capital city on WRL.com.
Excitement is growing for the Summer Olympics in Paris, but local athletes are also participating in another big event. This morning, students gathered at Green Level High School for the opening ceremony for the Special Olympics NC Spring Games. This event featured student athletes from 8 Wake County high schools. Each year, local programs host Spring Games, taking place March through May.
They do make friends for life. And the fans and the athletes, they really enjoy this. It's their highlight of their school year.
Nearly 45,000 Special Olympics athletes take part in the Spring Games, which primarily feature athletic competition in track and field events, but some counties offer other sports as well.
A post went viral recently, sparking conversations about birth order and eldest daughter syndrome. Hoda Kotb takes a closer look.
Birth order is something that has been discussed and dissected for decades.
Alfred Adler developed birth order theory.
But thanks to what some say are spot-on takes on eldest daughters on social media, firstborn girls are having a moment.
If you know an oldest daughter or an oldest sibling, give them a hug and say thank you.
A New York Times article entitled Why Your Big Sister Resents You has eldest sisters and their loved ones buzzing, citing viral content like this post on X asking, are you happy or are you the oldest sibling and also a girl? The comment section becoming something of a support group.
Eldest daughter syndrome is not an official mental health diagnosis. It's a term coined to describe the unique pressures and responsibilities placed onto the oldest daughter in the family. In
short, this TikTok video from Katie Morton, a licensed marriage and family therapist and youngest sibling, has been viewed more than 6.5 million times.
One, you have an intense feeling of responsibility. Two, you are an overachiever, type A and very driven.
The topic has been discussed at length on podcasts.
We're definitely what I call like bonus parents.
Family therapist Sarah Stanizai has had an overwhelming response to a support group she created for fellow oldest daughters.
When you're in a room of people who absolutely understand it, even though they might have their own sort of nuances to it, hearing each other's stories and also being heard, what that's really telling you is you're not abnormal.
Middle children are often described as having big personalities, the youngest outgoing and social. The research on birth order personality traits is mixed. Experts say it may not matter.
If it matters to you, then it matters.
Very fascinating. I'm the oldest daughter and the youngest daughter because I'm the only daughter. I have one older brother. Jeff, you have a few more siblings.
Yeah, I have three boys in the family and, you know, one sister. So,
and your birth order, your number?
I'm third out of four.
Okay. Big personality right here. And I guess outgoing for the youngest.
If it's important to you, it's important, I guess. I don't know. If it's not, then it's not.
Still to come, this teacher helps make history come alive at an all-girls school. What brought Grant Best to teach in Wake County?
Well, Sport Liberty is switching gears to welcome a NASCAR driver. Why Daniel Suarez will be visiting with troops. We appreciate you watching us right now. Remember, you can watch WRL News Live anytime on WRL.com. or the WRL app on your streaming device.
Happening right now in the WRL Live Center, the FAA issued a ground stop for Alaska Airlines flights today because of an aircraft system issue. Now, this ground stop has since been canceled. It's been lifted. It lasted for about an hour. In a statement, the airline said this morning, we experienced an issue while performing an upgrade to the system that calculates our weight and balance. And out of an abundance of caution, we requested a ground stop for all Alaska and Horizon flights. Alaska Airlines says it is working to get those flights moving again. A Boeing whistleblower, meanwhile, is testifying right now before a Senate Transportation Committee. And the issue, the focus is on Boeing's planes and potential issues with them. And again, this Alaska Airlines ground stop has since been lifted.
Thanks for the update, Michelle. Our teacher of the week never thought he'd be teaching middle school in an all-girls school. WRL's Brian Schrader introduces us to an educator helping his students connect with their lessons.
Mr. Bass? Hey, you're WRL's Teacher of the Week. Congratulations.
We surprised Grant Bess in his history class at Wake Young Women's Leadership Academy in Raleigh. Some of his students wrote to me nominating him for Teacher of the Week. They say Bess makes learning fun.
I love that I have students that are being impacted, that I am doing well, especially as a third-year teacher.
All right. Are we split into the two groups?
Bess moved from Utah so his wife could work on her doctorate at Duke University. He says one thing has surprised him about North Carolina, teacher pay. He says despite teaching in Wake County, he and his wife can't afford to live here.
If my spouse chose not to work, it would be probably a no-go. I'd probably be switching careers. So.
Bess says higher teacher salaries would improve outcomes for students.
I think we'd be attracting the best talent if we actually made it a better option for people.
In Raleigh with our Teacher of the Week, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
If you'd like to nominate a teacher, you can go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
One of America's top social media influencers isn't a model or a chef, but a cobbler, as in someone who works on shoes. We'll introduce you to the man who's captivating followers by the millions. Plus, a cryptic QR code is catching the attention of Swifties in the Windy City. The rush to try and decipher the meaning of all those clues before she drops her new album this week. At Lake Gaston right now, with gray skies there and all across the triangle, our highs will be in the low 80s. And then if you're tired of the 80s, well, eventually we'll get back down into the 60s. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
Whether it's fixing zippers, reviving heels, or shining leather dress shoes, America's cobbler is giving his followers an inside look at one of the world's oldest professions. Sam Brock introduces us to the unlikely TikTok star with a job that is good for the soul.
What we do is we take a heel popper and we pop that off.
For anyone looking for a nice new soul, there may be no finer option than America's cobbler, Jim McFarland.
How would you describe your job to someone who doesn't know what a cobbler is?
A shoe cobbler is someone that takes your shoes and recrafts them back to the original factory condition.
The family business, built on buffing, stitching, and gluing beloved footwear, goes back to 1900.
We're in our 124th year.
But Jim initially resisted the craft.
I didn't want to be in this business. I saw how hard my dad worked.
Still, he found himself back in the shop when his father got sick. Now his videos are captivating people around the world. His social media secret weapon, his daughter, Tori.
Our first video that we posted got over 2 million views over the course of a week. But I think we were like, that was just like a stroke of luck.
Millions and millions of views on future posts proved it wasn't. Now he's making people smile.
Ooh, she's so pretty.
And some.
A lot of people will send us letters.
Are making him cry, like this father, who recently lost his 16-year-old son.
He passed away 4 weeks ago, and they wear the same size boot. You take every ounce of love you have inside, and you put them into those boots, and you hope when he puts those on, it gives him some kind of Band-Aid on his heart.
He's touching souls for sure. The ones on our feet and those in our hearts. Sam Brock, NBC News, Lakeland, Florida.
That was a nice touch right there. You've had use for a cobbler once or twice.
Oh, I hope they never go out of business, or they shouldn't go out of style. Yeah, heels definitely. A lot of wear and tear wearing these things. So they're miracle workers to save, you know, your favorite shoes.
Yeah, they truly are, no doubt. Elizabeth Gardner from the WRL Severe Weather Center, and we have a severe risk that we're looking at here for Friday.
We do. So this was posted this morning, a level one risk for almost the entire viewing area. Damaging winds would be our biggest threat, but we could definitely see some pockets of heavy rain and possibly some hail. This is not going to be a big giant front that comes through. This is going to be more of the cellular type where we have little storms that pop up here and there. And one or two of those could be strong enough to produce some wind damage with the winds at 58 miles per hour or stronger. So that severe weather threat will be with us on Friday. Taking a look at the rest of the weekend, Saturday continues to trend drier. We may be able to squeeze by without any rain, but one or two of the models still want to show a little bit of rain far in our southern counties late in the day Saturday. Some scattered rain on Sunday, especially during the afternoons, starting in our southern counties and moving northward. But it looks cool and stable, which means we wouldn't have any thunderstorms that day. Checking satellite and radar, this is a look at the current situation. I was following that band of rain that was back to the west, and I know you're looking at it sitting over us, but that's what the radar sometimes sees well above us, and it pretty much all evaporated. We do have another line that's back to the west starting to move into the mountains, and that's the one that models are showing that could arrive here later on this evening. We take a look at Futurecast, and again, things are looking pretty quiet for us right now on this version of Futurecast. And same, you know, all the way through the afternoon, there's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there's 5 o'clock, maybe a sprinkle or two up near the Virginia line. And then at some point during the evening, just a few isolated showers, but you can tell, I mean, there's not much there. If you had any outdoor plans, I would definitely go ahead and do whatever it is you are planning, because it just doesn't look like we're going to see a whole lot. Now, tomorrow's going to be dry, sunny, hot, and we'll start with some clear skies on Friday. But once we get closer to lunchtime, we start to see a few cells popping up. Here's 2 o'clock, and you can see, especially from the triangle area eastward, and I think that's really going to be our main focus for any storms that we end up seeing on Friday. We'll see those storms developing and sliding eastward. Notice that we're in a little bit of a break at 5 o'clock, but again, around 8 or 9 o'clock, another little line may pop up with some cells that could produce some brief heavy rain or some gusty strong winds. So a slim chance of a shower this evening here for us. And then Friday, about a 40% chance, not the entire viewing area will see those storms. 20% Saturday, just to kind of cover the bases in the south. And then a 40% chance on Sunday. We might see that number going up a little bit. How much rain total? Probably about a half an inch to an inch for each of those days. And of course, we're running behind in a lot of places. All the yellow and orange areas are where we're looking at about 70 to 80% of our normal rainfall for the month. So we are behind. Officially at RDU, we're about an inch behind for the month of April. So we're not looking at a big drought, but if we don't start to see some more rain in the area, then we could be getting there. And we don't see a whole lot. Wednesday and Friday, maybe Sunday, we'll end up with a bit of a soaking, especially in our southern counties. And of course, after that, Monday and Tuesday were dry and cooler too, just 65 for the high on Monday.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Taylor Swift just loves to keep her fans guessing. This is something she gets a kick out of, I think. Where the latest clue popped up about her new album.
First, here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers for you. 21, 26, 36, 44, 59, and 2. The Megaplier is 4.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion policies could be scrapped at UNC System Schools. A committee of the UNC Board of Governors, which oversees 17 campuses across the state, will discuss repealing and replacing the DEI policy. The Board of Governors University Governance Committee is discussing this at 3:45 this afternoon. We'll let you know what comes out of it.
A 17-year-old is now charged with murder after a stabbing. It happened at Walmart on New Bern Avenue in Raleigh. Sky 5 and the WRL Breaking News Tracker both on that scene as police investigated. Officers did not announce the name of the suspect or victim. Anyone with information about what happened is asked to call the police department.
Right now, the Senate is hearing testimony from experts saying Boeing's 787 Dreamliner airplane is not safe. One whistleblower says the plane could fall apart and drop to the ground mid-flight. Boeing disputed the claim, saying the plane is safe and that Boeing is fully confident in its 787 Dreamliner.
Today, NASCAR driver Daniel Suarez will visit with troops at Fort Liberty. Suarez will be joined by his crew chief as well as the general manager of Charlotte Motor Speedway. Their visit is part of Mission 600 outreach program, and it comes ahead of the 65th running of the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway next month.
Swifties in Chicago are trying to decipher a cryptic message just days ahead of the release of Taylor Swift's latest album. A mural of a giant QR code popped up on the side of this Windy City high-rise. Once fans scanned the code with their phone cameras, it took them to a 13-second YouTube short attached to Swift's page. The YouTube short animates like a typewriter with the message "Error 321" and a faded 13. So the album comes out at midnight Thursday. Join the Tar Heel Traveler tonight for some good eats across the state. It's a restaurant special he calls Yum. From breakfast to burgers, seafood to tacos, Scott Mason digs into it all. Watch the Tar Heels Traveler special tonight at 7:30 here on WREL.
Our pet of the day comes to us from Cat Angels NC. One-year-old Roxy is a gentle soul. One way to be sure that you've gained her approval is when she starts to slow blink with you. You can be sure you're in her circle of trust then. She does come with a bonus in the form of her sister, Trixie, who helps Roxy build her trust in new situations. If you'd like to meet Roxy in person, just fill out an application on the Cat Angels website.
Chances are you're paying more for home insurance now than you were just a few years ago. Today at 4, Consumer Reports reveals some easy ways to save big money on your premiums.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. We hope you have a wonderful Wednesday.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.